As Aaron mentioned, we're on our last church, which is in Revelations, which our Lord spoke to directly himself. As always, I'd like to extol the Word of God. And in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, it states, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness." This is where we get our authority to speak on God's behalf. Scripture is God-breathed. It wasn't made up by man. Men may have penned it down on paper, but the explicit words came from God himself. And as we've looked at these seven churches, or six so far, in Revelations, we see that some of them came under teaching and doctrine, reproof and rebuke. Some came under correction. Some came under training in righteousness. And whenever I look at Scripture, it's always an exercise in self-examination. It tells me I still have a human nature. God's Word, the Bible, is the highest authority that we can have on this earth. A lot of people disregard it. They refuse to recognise it. And I make no apology for pointing this out at the start of this talk. This is how the first churches in Jerusalem started, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had things in common. And they sold the possessions and goods and divided them among them to anyone that had need. Verse 46. So continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God for having favour with all people. And the Lord added unto the church daily for those who were saved. This is the core of why we gather together. The central message of our Lord Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection. The fulfillment in the Old Testament. See, our foundation of faith. And it distinguishes Christians from every other religion. And it serves as the ultimate authority for Christ's practices when we gather together. And there's 3 points of why we gather together. It's for fellowship, regular scripture reading and Bible study, breaking of bread, remembering the Lord Jesus Christ, and regular corporate individual locked in your closet prayer. The talk we're going to have today will be coming from Revelations chapter 3, 14 to 22. And this is our Lord instructing John to write down his words. "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know thy works, Thou art neither hot nor cold. I would rather you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that they mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my fathers, with my Father on his throne. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit hath to say. Our Lord was talking to the church of the Laodiceans. It wasn't the only church in Asia Minor. There were many other churches. They stretched from Rome, Athens, Colossae, Tarsus, Antioch, Tyre, Patmos, Thessalonica, Philippi. There are many churches. And how did these churches become so spread from Jerusalem? This report came from the Lord Jesus Christ. He actually looked at this church and wrote these things down so that we today will not fall into the same problems which the Laodiceans had. John opens his little statement, or the Lord opens his little statement, which John wrote down, with three very important facts. He called himself, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Amen, the So Be It, the True Witness, and the beginning of God's creation. Now let's keep in mind, Jesus was not the beginning of God's creation. He is the one that created it. I don't recall my first report book I got from school. Do any of you recall that? Your first report book you got from your school teacher at school. I never seen mine. It most probably was posted or somehow got to my mum and dad. But mum and dad really told me that I shouldn't daydream so much at school and I should take more notice of what the teacher says. I should do more rote learning. And I should, and I should, and I should. I don't know how yours panned out. But reports were given by somebody else that looked at us and did an assessment. And as we went through the grades, sometimes these reports were good, sometimes their grades were bad. But nevertheless, at the end of each year, these reports came out. When we started work, we were more interested in the statement from the bank, which was our balance. And after a year or so, you'd have an audit on your statement and you wonder why the figure that you started with wasn't much better than the figure that you finished with. So quite obviously, you've spent everything as you went along. And as we worked with bigger corporations, for myself it was the Postmaster of the General's Department, then Rio Tinto, They always wanted you to do a self-assessment. They'd send you out a sheet of paper every year to fill in how you actually went and how you felt that you went within the company. They'd ask you to fill in, were you a team player? What were your key performance indicators? Did you mentor anyone? And then they'd fill in a form and they'd compile them together. And the bottom line was that somebody else signed off on it, not yourself. They seen you at work, how you worked, and how you conducted yourself. And sometimes it was always thought of that it's not what the company can do for you, it is what you can do for the company. And that's where they put your balance on your pay scale. The Laodiceans had a report put on them, and we've just read that. But who were these people? We read about the apostles' doctrine and how they kept it, prayer, breaking of bread, and reading God's word. Then James, Peter's brother, was martyred, and the church at Jerusalem spread throughout. That's how we have all these churches in these different areas in Asia Minor, stretching from Rome down into Ethiopia and along the Mediterranean coast. And this was one of the churches which went to Laodicea. It was a city in Turkey. It was a closed circuit type of city. They kept to themselves. They worked within themselves. And in their day, they were known for gold refining. They were known for textiles. And they were known for eye health. And how this worked was that when the traders that came from the east, they wouldn't take their gold without testing it. So it had to be refined to make sure there wasn't any lead in it, any copper in it, any tin in it, anything that would give it more weight than it should have had. In the textiles, it was black wool. So they used to use some of the soot from the furnaces that refined the gold to make sure it was black and glossy. They used some of the heat to scour the wool, to remove the wool grease out of the wool to make sure it was clean and glossy and black. This wool grease that came up, we know it as lanolin nowadays. And the lanolin was mixed with a Pygarian powder, which was found somewhere there near Laodicea. That was so that they could place it on their eyes. Otherwise the powder would just come off. In ancient times, sight was very important and it was always under attack through bad hygiene. As I mentioned, they were self-sufficient and they worked around in this circle. And they became very wealthy. In about 60 AD, there was a major earthquake which upset the city quite into ruins. And they built the city by themselves without Roman help. It had a high majority of Jews living there. And the Jews, as we know, wouldn't have anything to do if they could get out of it with the Romans and with Gentiles. They tolerated the Romans, they paid their taxes, and made sure that the Romans paid a premium for their goods and services. The report was a little bit scathing. It told them Sure, they had their wealth, but what about their spiritual needs, their spiritual wealth? He said that they were destitute, poor, naked. So he took the works of the day and placed it into a spiritual realm so that they could see that where they actually stood in reference to our Heavenly Father. And the first mention is, you are hot and cold. You're neither cold or hot. It's interesting to note that this city had a problem with water. It came from about 6 kilometres away through viaducts and underground channels. And we know ourselves that hot water is good if you want coffee or tea. And in the morning, it gives you a lift up. It complements you. And on a hot day, cold water is refreshing, vitalising. And this is what he told them. But their church didn't show any signs of being comfortable, comforting, vitalising, energising, refreshing. When people come to visit us, did they see the same in our church here? Are we welcoming? Are we encouraging? Do we uplift people? Our Heavenly Father looked right through the polished maple and the polished myrtle wood, the fancy pews, their lip surface to him. Yes, they came on a Sunday. Yes, they had Sunday school. Yes, they sung songs. Yes, they read God's word. Yes. But they did it so that others could see them. They didn't do it from the heart. And we know from various other scriptures in God's word that God looks at our heart. He weighs our heart. He knows our heart. Really, what can we hide from our Heavenly Father? Sobering thoughts that even as I stand here, he knows my intent. And the lukewarmness benefits no one. The Jews that lived in Laodicea, there was about 50,000 of them. We've got that because about 45 kilos of gold went to the Jerusalem temple as a temple tax from them. And that was men over 20. So there was quite a group of Jews living in that area. As this water came from 6 kilometres away, it was from hot springs, and hot springs are very mineralised. It has a lot of calcium and other minerals dissolved in it from the hot water coming through the seams of the earth. And when it got to Laodicea, it was no good to drink. It had to be stored in great big glass stone pots in the basements of things so that everything would settle out of it. In the Lord's report, there wasn't any bad words to them about being agonistic to each other, fighting with dinner, backbiting, like some of the other churches had. They all got together. They all got together and lived. And I think their motto is a little bit like we have nowadays: live and let live. The second he lays that on their feet is, of course you've come wealthy, and of course you don't need anything, but you see yourself wretched, miserable, poor and blind and naked. You know, nowadays there's a a bit of confusion about in Christian circles about being prosperous. Being prosperous isn't something what God gives you for being a Christian. You're prosper you in your spiritual life. But not so much in your wealth. Trouble is with rich people, we don't need God. We've got it ourselves, we've made it. We don't need that stepping stone in life. So we disregard him. We let him. But our Heavenly Father says, you're wretched, miserable, poor and blind and naked. And that's how the church has become, spiritually speaking. I mentioned before, I've looked at a few online speakers of note that where I've got some of this information from, and the pulpits they speak from are so magnificently polished, and the background to their pulpits, I don't know, but pulpits were made so that they could duck down underneath when people disrespected them and didn't agree with what they had to say because things were thrown at them. That's where the original pulpits came from. Money was the problem, and their work problems, that's all they wanted to do, make wealth. And that's why our Lord says, I'd rather you hot or cold, at least, but lukewarm. And how do we feel about being lukewarm in our Christian walk, our Christian talk? But God invites them to buy things from him. He says, take my gold, which is faith in me. And your faith grows stronger and stronger as you go through the trials and tribulations of this world, where people throw at you, being a Christian isn't that good. He tells us to buy a white raiment from him. This is from the black wool, different white wool. The whiteness of the Lord Jesus Christ placed over us with his shed blood at Calvary. Without it, we cannot even approach God. We need his covering, and that's what the garment of righteousness is. He was taking an analogy from their wool. Make sure it's white, and we look towards God at all times. He asked them to take their eye ointment. They were known throughout the known world there for medicinal purposes for their eyes. And God takes an analogy of that and says, take the ointment which I can supply, which will open your eyes, so you can distinguish between truth and error. And he says, I am truth. And he gives us an invitation to buy these things. We don't need our self-sufficiency and pride. We need a total reliance on our Lord Jesus Christ. On the farm that we just left recently, we used to have sheepdogs. They were very handy for rounding up sheep. And when trained well, you'd hardly tell them what to do. But there was one problem with sheepdogs. You never wanted to yell at them. You never wanted to shout at them. Otherwise, they'd carry away, hide under the vehicle, and not do their bidding, and not do your bidding. In this verse here, in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. To whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. And the verse emphasizes the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ does not yell and shout at us. He comes to us from the side of love. And if any man hear my voice, I will come and sup with him. And to keep ourselves within God's love, there are three points that we must consider. Reading God's word, I've mentioned that before. Praying, I've mentioned that before. And gathering together as we do here. If we don't gather together, we don't have unity. If we don't read God's scripture together, we don't understand what everybody else understands. And if we don't pray together corporately, and we don't pray together individually, how else do we talk to our Heavenly Father? There seems to be a bit of turning away from breaking of bread services nowadays. Quite a few of the churches here in Perth only think it's important enough to have it once a month, or even less. Ultimately, this is what gathering together, the core point of a church, to remember our Lord in his way. It's not from our point of view, it's not man-made, it is made, brought to us through God's word. Interesting, this little bit of verse here. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him. Quite often we see this as a text for saving people, but no, this letter is to a church. Very poor for churches not to open the door and allow the Lord to come in and be with us at our morning meeting. The trouble is we often place other things as more important to think about our work, think about networking. We think about how we convey ourselves to the people around us. I mentioned before, God looks through all that and sees you as yourself. There's a little count in Acts 12, it's where Rhoda went out to see what the noise was at the door. Peter had just been released from jail via an angel. Prior to that, his brother James had been martyred. The people inside were praying for Peter's release. Rhoda answered the door and said it was Peter, but never opened the door. Yes, we can hear God's voice. Yes, we know his precepts. Yes, we know how he works with us. But do we open the door to allow him into our church? Revelations 3:21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. This is a promise to us, to the church. If we can overcome all the obstacles with God's help, we've been invited to sit with our Lord, not here on earth, but with his Father in heaven. I don't think I'm expanding the verse too much if I say that this is the ultimate victory It's tied to Christ's victory, which is given to us. And he is offering a close fellowship with God. A little bit like the relationship Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. To be ever with our Lord. Sometimes I guess no one bothers to open the door. We can hear everything. We can say anything. We can be a perfect Orthodox church. Do everything correctly. Do everything right. Do everything according to what the scripture says. But we never take that step of allowing Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, into our minds, into our heart, and into our lives. So often we get carried away with what's in this world. We must remember a few weeks ago, Brother Richard Trent said, 70 years we have to make up our minds. If we don't allow our Lord in now, you never will. We have to watch out our church doesn't become a Christian country club where the name of Christ is not on the door. Shall we just close with a word of prayer? Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can open your word. And we thank you for giving us the insights of how to convey ourselves in this world today. We ask that you'll strengthen us, keep us with the truth and the life and the way. And as we go our various ways, keep us safe and secure until we meet again, if not here, with you. We ask these things in his name. Amen.